Chapter 7. Graces at the Hour of Death. A soldier of the garrison of the city of Luxembourg, while riding through the country, came across a Frenchman who appeared more like a rotten carcass than a human being. Several parts of his body had been corrupted, and emitted a most intolerable stench. The soldier, when he saw that the apparently dead man raised his hand, approached him and asked him if he was a Catholic, and desired the assistance of a priest. By repeatedly raising his hand, the Frenchman seemed to give an affirmative answer. The soldier hastened to the convent of the Carthusians. The prior immediately repaired to the spot and heard the confession of the dying man, who was then able to speak clear and intelligible words when before he could not. Having received absolution, he declared to the bystanders that, having been mortally wounded during a siege, he was left by his comrades as dead. He attributed his having remained alive in such a condition to the Virgin Mary, whose livery he wore. Then, pulling out a brown scapular, he kissed it repeatedly before happily departing this life. A young man, after ending his school days, exchanged his Christian life for one of wickedness. The reading of bad literature, the frequenting of bad company, the indulging in all kinds of sensual pleasures, etc. Giving himself over to such a life, he gradually sank lower and lower, until finally he was given to despair. As the general outcome of despair is suicide, he decided upon ending his life. He managed to obtain a revolver, then went out into the country and shot himself in the head. A man, who was working nearby, had heard the shot, went to the spot, and recognizing the self-murderer, went to the mother of the unfortunate. He gave her the weapon, saying, "Madame, here is the revolver which has killed your son but a few moments ago." These imprudent words struck the heart of the mother so heavily that she was on the point of losing her mind, and the bystanders had all they could do to keep her from throwing herself out of the window. While some were consoling the mother, others went to get the body of her unfortunate son. Did he die suddenly? No, he is still alive. The priest and the physician are called. The latter examines the wounds. The bullet went through the brains, and thus there is no hope, no salvation for this earthly life. The sick man now recovers consciousness, and the priest hears his confession and gives him the last sacraments. After that, the poor man makes one more effort to console his mother who, bathed in tears, is at the side of her dying son. He opens the clothes which cover his breast and shows her the scapular, the only sign of religion that he retained during his life of sin and vice. "In my earlier days," he said in a broken voice, "I used to pray to Mary, and this is the reason why she showed me mercy today." These were his last words, and all who heard them were convinced that the scapular had been his anchor of salvation. Some are careless in wearing their scapular. Some take it off and forget to put it back on. Others neglect to replace it immediately when it's torn. The following story should inspire one to be more careful. A lineman, while carrying some blocks on his shoulder, was struck by an approaching train and wheeled around, receiving a fatal blow on the head. He was carried by a fellow workman to the station, and while being examined, a Catholic who was present noticed that the man wore scapulars. He ran at once to St. Anne's Church for a priest. Meeting one of the fathers in his vestibule, he told him of the occurrence, and in a few minutes the priest was at the dying man's side preparing him for his last journey. After the last sacraments were administered, the man was placed in an ambulance to be taken to a hospital, but he died before en route. If not for his scapular, this poor soul might have gone to the judgment without the rites of the Church. The Apostle of the Poor and Laborers, as Father Millerot was known, was conducting a mission in a prison in Paris. Having heard the confession of a female prisoner, he enrolled her in the brown scapular, and exacted from her the promise never to part with it. Some days after, he met this same woman in the courtyard of the prison. "How are you?" he asked. "Oh, Father, since I saw you last, everything has gone wrong with me. I had hanged myself."
"Hanged yourself, poor child," said the priest.
"Yes, hanged myself. My associates here had accused me of an infamous deed. They all cried, 'You are abominable!' I was furious thereat, and excited to the utmost. I ordered not to outlive this disgrace. I hastened to the cistern in order to jump in, but felt forcibly kept back. Then I went to the attic to hang myself, and suspended myself from a large hook. I was well nigh choked, and noticed my throat contracting. At this moment, I raised my heart to Our Lady of Mount Carmel, and the rope snapped asunder." Another instance related is that of a man who, failing in honesty and fearing arrest, decided to commit suicide. He communicated his intentions to the same priest, who said, "At least do me one favor. Take the scapular and promise me not to take it off." "Father," said the man, "I promise it because you have been so kindly disposed towards me." Then he left. To himself the priest said, "My friend, you may attempt to kill yourself, but you will not die." Some days after, the unfortunate man was overcome by a temptation of despair. In order to carry out this awful design, he leapt into the Seine. He couldn't swim. He tried twice to keep under, but in vain. The scapular had saved him. He became ill and was converted. An aged officer, whose age reached far into the 90s, became an out-and-out skeptic and lost the faith by reading the works of Voltaire. He became suddenly ill. All his friends tried to persuade him to receive the holy sacraments, but in vain. A priest sent him a scapular, enclosing a note saying, "You will do me a great favor by wearing this." The old officer did as requested. The Mother of God then showed her power and maternal love. After taking the scapular, the officer devoutly confessed his sins, received Holy Communion, and until the end persevered in his devotion to Our Blessed Lady of Mount Carmel. One of the Carmelite missionary in India narrates the following facts published in the Chronicles of Carmel. The Evil One, seeing his reign diminish day by day, and that especially the dying escaping him, seeks to revenge himself in 1,000 ways. His most common and perfidious attack consists in suggesting to the dying neophytes to take off the scapular of Our Lady. I will tell you of 2 cases in my experience, one consoling and the other terrible. Marie, the mother of my chief catechist, Jean, was on her deathbed. All at once she lifts her hand to her shoulder, and pointing at the scapular of Mount Carmel, she cried out, "Take it off! Take it off! It is burning me! It is that which is making me so sick! It is killing me!" "No, dear mother," said her son Jean, "it is the devil who is deceiving you. To drive him away, we will all say the rosary for you." The attendants fell on their knees and recited the rosary. The prayer being finished, the poor sick woman persisted in wishing to have the scapular removed, which, as she said, was burning her most painfully. Again the rosary was said, without rendering her more quiet. It was only after the rosary had been said 8 times that she ceased to importune the assistants to remove the scapular. She became more and more tranquil, and her cries, her sufferings, and her struggles ceased, when suddenly she fell into a kind of ecstasy and cried out, "Oh, look, look, behold, the Blessed Virgin is coming to me. She recognizes me as her daughter, because I wear the scapular. Oh, thank you, my dear children, 1,000 times for keeping it on me." And the child of Our Lady of Mount Carmel expired calmly and peacefully. Alas, Paul, one of my Christian children, unfortunately did not find such charitable souls around his deathbed. The poor boy became seriously ill. I visited him day after day and administered the last sacraments to him, which he received with the utmost devotion, answering himself all the liturgical prayers. Obliged to leave him in order to continue my round of sick calls, I recommended to his parents not to take off the scapular and the little crucifix that hung around his neck. After I was gone, he entered his last agony. Suddenly Paul, who had been completely exhausted and immovable, makes a supreme effort and with fervish hands tries to seize and pull off the scapular and crucifix. But his dying hands are powerless. He moves his lips and his tongue, plainly asking to have these blessed objects removed. his pagan mother hastens to take off the cross and the scapular, and at a moment after, Paul dies. The news of Paul's death, and the distressing circumstances attending it, soon spread through the whole district, and filled my Christians with fear. Only today, at one of our meetings, one of them in name, of all, addressed me on the subject. "Father," he said, "when we fall sick, we beg of you to give us strong scapulars and to fasten them well around our necks. And we pray, do not leave us to the mercy of our pagan relatives. Appoint some fervent Christians to remain on guard at our bedside, relieving each other from time to time, in order to keep us from falling into this terrible temptation, and to prevent us from losing our faith at the last moment." To God's providence, one person in Montreal, after hearing the efficaciousness of the brown scapular in a 20-minute homily, noted down some words of a priest who was a hospital chaplain in one of the principal Catholic hospitals of the diocese. "During the years that I have been a chaplain to a hospital which is, as you know, to a great extent, the receptacle of persons injured by this innumerable accidents occurring daily, almost hourly, in our great commercial city, I can truly say, from my own personal observations, that of the Catholic working men or others, the victims of accidents, constantly being conveyed to that hospital, those who died on the way were brought in dead, were without scapulars, while, on the other hand, and in all cases, those who were clothed with the garment of the Queen of Heaven were brought in alive and lived long enough to receive at least some, and frequently all, of the last sacraments in full possession of their faculties. This fact struck me so forcibly that I made a point to speak of it to the sisters in charge of the hospital, asking if they had noticed it. They replied that they had not only noticed it individually, but had more than once spoken of it amongst themselves as the common experience of all. What a consolation for those who have the happiness of wearing the scapular of Carmel! What an encouragement to wear it reverently and worthily in purity of life and fervor of devotion!"